First of all, God, thank you for what you have in store. I am convinced that there's something for each and every one of us, so I choose to say yes. I invite my friends to say yes on their behalf right now in oneness and spirit. We say yes to you, God, what you have in store. We thank you that you love, not only love us, but love doing life with us, and each one of us is made as a unique reflection of you. And the enemy would love to block that. And our life's history has been attacked by lies and by the world and by the enemy to have us buy into stories and a personal story that would prevent us from even seeing ourselves as you see us, let alone living from that place. So I thank you that that's where we're invited to live and that you're going to reveal some of that today. You rock, God. We love you. Amen. So as I just mentioned story and said last week that we were going to go on a journey for a little bit here looking at stories, what is a story? I actually had to look it up. It's such a common word. I wouldn't like to give a definition. Took a minute. I went, how come I don't know the definition of story? Obviously, it's almost too easy. Okay, it's a history. So one is it's an account of a thing is the definition. It's the retelling of or an account of something that happened in history or was imagined to have happened in history. It can be an imaginary account was the other part of the definition, which is critical. It's critical to the definition, but it's critical to our time together. And without going off on a long tangent on the brain, it's worth knowing the studies that have been done to prove that the imagination of the subconscious is as powerful as the real event. Whatever a real experience can do for you in creating a memory, in creating an understanding, in creating a strength, in creating a fear, whatever experience. Has anyone had a fearful experience before? It scares you. You remember it now. There's dendrites that know when that stimulus happens, I should be afraid because that's bad, okay? Imagine your imagination triggers the exact same thing, okay? And the enemy knows it. That's why he's a deceiver. That's why he likes lies. He likes lofty speculations that get you to think a thing, imagine a thing, dwell on a thing, and that can become a story. So I would suggest to you for your consideration that there are stories. I don't want to make it just your story because it's you are a new creation. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Before that, it says, we used to regard Jesus in the flesh. Why would they have said that? Because they saw him in the flesh, right? We're talking about people who knew him as a man.
Yes.
So if you knew him as a man, I know Sal, Sal knows me. He doesn't really, until he gets to know me, he doesn't know the spirit man, the soul, my mind, will, and emotion being alignment with my spirit. He can know me in the flesh and see some of my fleshly behaviors. Okay? Jimmy said as I was walking, he goes, oh, you're here early. Apparently, in the flesh, there's something that has been regarded, okay? Apparently, you understand it as well and have regarded me in the flesh, okay? So, but think about it. That's what he means. We regarded Jesus in the flesh. We saw him as a man. We saw that he actually did go number one and number two. He did have to go behind the palm tree or whatever. He did, you know, do you get what I'm saying? They walked with the man. They ate with the man. And all the things that go along with that, okay? They smelt his breath in the morning when he rolled off of the rock like the rest of them, okay? He was a man, okay? They regarded him in the flesh. But they go, oh. The question was there toothbrushes back then? Moving on from a time standpoint, but we don't regard him in the flesh anymore. We now know him. We know him differently. And so it goes on to say that the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We'll come back to that, so I might as well write it. Behold, the new has come. Well, so You're a new creation. That is your story. There's a story that is that you've said yes to and you longed for and you are enjoying already. And I know from encounters with many of you and can just say in general, or I'll ask it as a question, how many of you have little voices in your head at least once or twice a week that tell you things that you would rather not agree with? Okay, every head is nodding, okay? I wish you could have seen the facial expressions of some of you. So those are just narratives from an old memory. You're a new creation. Everything in you is a new creation, but some of certain stimulus trigger old thoughts. And then those thoughts, it's just fascinating how the brain works. I won't go off on that tangent. They've been reinforced, is all we'll say. So once again, you said yes, you have those voices. If they're reinforced, they live on, right? So there's power in getting in touch with what stories we've come into agreement with or believe without even realizing we believe them. And then bring them into the light and go, that's not my story. Has anyone ever known somebody who says, that's just the way I am?
Yeah.
I get mad. I'm sorry, it's just the way I am, okay? Or, no, that's just not me. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not a singer. I'm not a this. I'm not a that. Well, I'm not saying that you should sing. I'm just saying you saying I'm not a singer is a story you've chosen to believe. I'm told by our kids are very musical. Our son's a professional musician. He says everyone can sing. Everyone. I know, I'm with you. Joyful noise, at least for you and I, right? But like any muscle and like anything, there's a development that's possible. It may not be good, but everyone can sing. If singing is the ability to hold notes in a chord and melodious fashion or whatever, we could exercise. And look at the actors and actresses that aren't great singers, but next thing you know, they get a role and they sing. Who's the guy who played in 300? He then played in Phantom of the Opera. The guy... What's that? Yeah. Gerard Butler. I mean, he sang good, really good. I mean, he's a raspy, you just wouldn't picture the guy as a singer, but they trained him. I guarantee he had voice lessons, and he sang, okay? So just the stories we allow to live on that aren't in alignment with this truth are fortresses. So in, if you don't have it, I will read it for you. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to obedience. It doesn't say obedience, just for the record. It says to the obedience of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We'll come back to that one. But what is a fortress? He wrote it in that time when they still understood kingdoms and fortresses and feudal systems. And so a fortress kept bad people out. It also kept people in. It protected what you felt needed to be protected. So you would build a fortress, a stronghold around what you felt needed to protected, which would include land. And so if I value this chair, I wouldn't build the fortress here. I'd build it here. The more land I can take, the more I can protect what is most precious and dear. That's why if we look at the Roman Empire, they went off further and further into Gaul and wherever, and they took this perimeter. If you look at the British Empire, they said the sun never set on the British Empire at its peak. Once you take ground, now to take a little bit more is easier, right? seeing how the enemy works. Once I take a little bit of ground, I just need a little bit. Just give me one little area of your thought life and come into agreement with me. Teeny, it's of no account. You still believe in Jesus. I realize Jesus has got you. You're his. But if I can throw this little lofty speculation and get you to consider that you really shouldn't be quite like this. But it's little. Who cares? You know what? I'm not even going to think about it. Jesus loves me. This I know. And you pull up your Christian bootstraps and you bury that little thing. But now it's a little fortress. A little bit of ground has been taken. And it becomes easier at a time of weakness or a time of dullness. Boredom, whatever, take a little more. And so that's a setup for where we're headed on this journey that we're on. The reason I keep highlighting the word behold is where it says we are, behold, the new has come. That's a choice. And I would suggest to you for consideration, so that it's not me saying this is true, but if we were to, actually, perfect. We are coming back here in just a moment. But let me ask you a question. And just gut, okay? If you would, please don't seek the right answer, the wrong answer, just for fun. Let's get real about people out there. What are, for each of us, let's come up with three things that we bug the stink out of us about certain types of people. What are certain behaviors that you wish didn't exist on the earth anymore in mankind? Bad driving. Okay. Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
I don't have N50 and rockets on my car.
Just for the record, I paused and looked at whether he was looking towards me. No, seriously. I'm letting you know what happened. Whether he was looking towards me or at me. And I had a choice. And I'm letting you know, I did not choose to come under condemnation, but I could have. He wasn't condemning me, but I could have received because I'm one of the people he has considered on the road. I'm working on it, okay? But in all, do you see the little lofty speculation was, here's a man I admire. We don't know each other that well, but I was coming in a week or two ago, and he commented on a comment that I'd shared, you know, about Beth getting up every morning, saying I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we had a moment where we connected and said, hey, we've walked the same journey. We've chewed the same dirt. We've enjoyed the same goodness of God. So that's someone I have an admiration for. We're in church together. He asks that question. He looks at me. It was an opportunity for me to choose to behold myself as a new creation or reinforce the story that says I am this way because it's just the way I am or whatever. Anyway, just an interesting note. But yes, okay, so bad driving is a behavior. We'll take that. That's fine. What else? So behaviors, let's even have more fun because we have the things that bother us. The angels that are amongst us, what would they say about some of the things they know about people that are just, okay, I realize you're Christian, but is there somebody that really has bugged you in your life that you are convinced it's not the way God wants someone to behave? Can you think about them? Okay, what's another behavior besides driving from that person? Know-it-all, okay. A know-it-all, so pride, arrogance, to be a know-it-all. Anyone willing to accept that one? Okay, we got two, we'll run with just in the interest of time, a third one. What do you got?
How about a lying spirit?
A lying spirit, okay. Someone who just lies. They just, personally, I've been in business with people who literally it was a disease, but they were, the more of a sickness it is and the more developed it is, it can become very powerful in the world and in the flesh. So three different people I've been in business with, why I track that, I don't know. I've been in a lot of businesses, okay? But three of them happened to be so good at convincing themselves that they convinced others, and they rose to great heights in their narcissistic, lying, Pathological. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Not narcissistic. They're pathological lying. Okay.
NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. The main outshoot of that is pathological liar.
It makes sense. I realized I didn't share the mic, and I want to. When people are talking, it was just the comment was that this narcissistic persona it aligns with and inevitably leads to pathological lying as well, because it's the only way you could feed yourself the lie that it's all about you, and the enemy wants to continue as long as it doesn't take us. You can say anything you want.
It's about that.
Okay.
So you're talking about somebody's story, right?
Yes.
So somebody can believe their story so much, they're so wrapped up in themselves from a narcissistic perspective, that they're lying. They're not consciously lying. Their lying comes out of them telling themselves their story over and over to such the nth degree that it just becomes a part of their story. I know somebody that every time I talk to them, there's something different. And I know for a fact that none of that stuff ever happened. And I'm like, it's because the story they keep reciting.
You're where we're headed, which is great. It's great. That's perfect. Agreed. So that will come back up. I want to come back to where you are now, where we are. But remember that the we paused to look at just three things, and one was bad driving, which is again, a little bit, it's about me. I don't care. I'm going to pay attention to what's important to me and not the safety of other people on the road. Lying spirit was one. And then know-it-all, right? Know-it-all. Pride, arrogance, that whole thing. Okay. See, but they tell me that the sign of true genius is the ability to spell many things in many different ways. Sickness as something that we... Okay. Yes. Okay, so someone brought up sickness, which has to do with the story. We'll come back to the story. For the moment, if you recall, I had asked, just what are some things that bug you about people that you think are not desirable traits, right? It was unfair for me to do what I just did, but I want to show you something. We're not going to go to all the scriptures that support it. But I will tell you that John, what's one of the commandments of Christ?
Love one another as you have loved.
In fact, other than love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your brother, there really is no other. And I went to the internet to see what are the commandments of Jesus, just to see what man comes up with. It's ridiculous, the list that they come up with that they call commandments. The only things he said, and even then when they said, what must we do? He only said one thing, which was believe on the one that he sent. And if you believe on me, you will know my love and therefore be able to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And now we come back to this piece, though. I only did this. It was a little manipulative, but here we go. I am not loving my brother as I love myself when I regard him in his flesh and see his bad driving.
Right.
There's no condemnation in this. But I also can't lie to you. Let's get real. As I judge others, I judge myself. No condemnation. I don't even need to do anything about it. Because again, here's the way I really was led to ask it from the Spirit if I was looking at my notes. Are you right with God? Meaning right now, would God sit here and go, that's my dog, that's my son, I love him, I love her, we are good. Yeah, but no, we are good. Okay, yeah, but I do that, we're good. That jokingly, some of you aren't in the room, my mom's here with us today, and one of my friends started to joke around about I better behave, and I said, no, she's my greatest fan, I can't go wrong, and he started to dig a little deeper, and she said, I got your back. Like, jokingly, she was going to shiv him from behind and not let him. But I'm good there, right? It's kind of like that. Not I'm perfect in my old man. In Christ, I am perfect. It doesn't mean I didn't do some of these things. I didn't drive here. Beth did today. But had I driven, there would have been a chance. Are you right with God? I don't want you to raise your hand. Some of you said yes, but there's already little voices in doubt. That's okay. That's why we said, and that's why Paul said to Timothy, he said, kindle afresh. You need to be reminded because you got all kinds of stuff suggesting otherwise. You're seeing behavior in other people that you know isn't good and you don't like it, which is reminding you that there's things you don't like about yourself, which is fixing your eyes on old man, on flesh. We don't war in the flesh. We are of another, we're of another kingdom. It said that it's not of flesh and blood. There are fortresses, strongholds that want to reinforce themselves and have you focus on those things. Focus on those things. I'm not telling you to stop being, to stop disliking these behaviors in other people, right? Wouldn't that, the next step of this in a Sunday school class would be, therefore, thou shalt stop being offended at others driving and stay within your own lane and praise Jesus and WWJD and stop lying. Stop being frustrated at others lying. And look, when you point at someone else, there's three fingers pointing back at you. So, you know, all of that.
No more cussing at the other
time. Right. No more cussing. Exactly. That's not the point here. The point here is if I'm not beholding that I am right because of his obedience, then I'm already out of socket. For that shoulder metaphor, there is nothing to discuss. So I'm jumping, okay? We'll come back. So I want to learn. There's a move I want to learn. The guy that I've put my faith in says, no, not yet. And I'm like, but this thing you have me doing has nothing to do with what I want to do. Trust me. And so I'm trusting him and I'm not doing the thing I want to do. So it's easier to say, you're right. You know what? You've convicted me of my righteousness, David. I'm not going to be judgmental anymore. In fact, I read a scripture yesterday. You're giving me confirmation. This must be from the Holy Spirit. I'm too judgmental. I'm going to stop being so judgmental. Well, you just put your focus on your behavior and you elevated the law and made grace of no effect in your life. Furthermore, you're reinforcing some story that says, I need to maintain control. I need to do better. I need to behave better. I'm better than this. Christ in me will look differently. You don't know what it looks like if you're thinking that way. If I've offended you,
no.
Good.
Okay, great. I want to share something that happened to me yesterday.
Okay. Hang there. Only because you said you'll wait, we'll wrap with that. That's fine. We always hear it said to love. I shouldn't say we always hear. Hopefully, you've heard it said that you really can't give love unless you've received love. You can't give what you don't have. Okay, that's a cool phrase. It's a little scary and challenging. Yeah, it's a little scary and challenging because, wow, have I really received his love? And am I in that place in this moment? And if not, there's no condemnation. That's the place to go. So not... When we're addressing the story, it's not to say you need to focus on the story. You don't. We only need to focus on, am I in this moment? There's a part where Jesus is with the disciples. I think they just crossed over the water. Prior to crossing over, they had a bunch of people on a hill. They had no food. What are they going to do? Jesus performs a miracle. And they feed the multitudes. Now they get in the boat, they cross over, they're there, and the disciples are talking about the fact that they forgot to bring food. How recent was it that that was not even an issue? And yet here they are worried. And then Jesus gives a metaphor, and they are simile or whatever it was, a parable, and they go, they're talking amongst themselves, saying, he must be upset about the food or whatever. He goes, dudes, what are you doing? Don't you remember? This isn't about the food. And then he goes on to say, who do people say that I am? And they go, some say this, some say that. He goes, okay, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon that rock, that truth, I'll build my church, which means I'll build you. However, it's fun to think about, why did he ask, who do you say that I am? Because just a minute ago, they didn't remember he's the guy who fed the multitudes. I get who you say I am now, Peter, and thank you. I'm going to build my church on that. No man revealed this to you but my Father in heaven. This is glorious. You rock, Peter. But by the way, guys, yeah, and it's okay. So who do you say he is? Not now, but when stuff rises up, don't change the behavior, change where you're coming from. Don't reinforce the story and say, well, it's just the way I am. Simply change where you're coming from. And so the propensity sometimes will be to be aware and then go, okay, wait a minute, and start to remind yourself of things that you know to be true that are related to the circumstance, instead of just go to the root. And if the Spirit takes you to other truths from there, great. That means you get to be led by the Spirit as a son of God and take new ground, take new victory, build a new fortress that reinforces you beholding yourself as a new creation and your special reflection of God. But sometimes he's not going to, thank goodness. You don't have to do anything, but just go, we're good. And supernaturally, whatever that behavior was, will dissolve. Sometimes he doesn't want you to pick it up because he knows it's got too much of a stronghold. So let me do it. It's my obedience. I don't need you to tear down these walls. We are going to tear some down together to build your muscle so you see how great we are. And so you're reinforced more and more and beholding yourself in the flesh. And so as a testimony, not as someone, I forgot who said it, that is full of themselves, that you don't like, that's a know-it-all. But I was thrown, not, it was a lofty speculation entered the room the second it was talked about someone who doesn't pay attention to the road. And praise God, I give testimony to you that this process works. This process yields life because what would have been a reinforcement of an old story and have me come under condemnation did not return to sender, not him. The Spirit had nothing to do with him. The Spirit that wanted me to take hold of what came, and instead, there is a difference. There is a reason this guy has me doing these little movements over and over and over again. Something is changing, and when it's changed, it will be changed forever. There's new creation stuff going on, but I have old man memory, and when I'm given the choice, I choose to be safer in my old man. So where we're headed, as we continue to look at story, the things that were brought up about story in here will definitely be more prevalent to next week. But there is a fascinating aspect to our makeup, and it is that we love certainty. Pause and give that some thought. We love to be certain, safe. How many people would associate safety and safeness with certainty? There's a simile. Control is as well. Okay, so we long to be certain. As Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were certain until a serpent said, maybe you're not. Opened the door to uncertainty. They don't want to be uncertain. So he says, if you eat of the apple, you will be certain again. You will know all things. It's a makeup. The flesh wants certainty. It's designed. My brain wants everything to be in the order it understands. It's a programmed pile of flesh and energy response and responders and receivers and so on and so forth, and a mapping tool. And okay, fine. It wants certainty. We've been discussing the soul being in control of our mind so that what our mind believes to be true that is false will come into alignment with what we know to be true in God, led by the Spirit. Okay, well, here's the interesting thing about that. You and I will do whatever it takes to have and feel certain. When we're young, anyone ever remember starting your first job or first business and taking on things that were scary? Okay. You had nothing to lose because you weren't satisfied with where you were at. Make sense? So the fear of taking on the new thing was smaller than the fear of remaining in the nothingness you had. I got to eat. I'm going to go to work. I also want the approval of man. I want recognition. I want to do this thing because it makes me come alive. Whatever reasons, they became far stronger, and so you were willing to take on that thing and go do it. Once you did it, and you didn't even know if you could. Once you did, though, and then you did it again and again and again and again, you became more and more and more and more certain in that thing, in that place. Make sense?
Yeah,
became
more comfortable.
And now that becomes your safe space. The challenge is there's more to life, but it involves going outside the ring of certainty. Okay? But now you've become so comfortable, you do have something to lose where before you didn't. So it becomes very hard sometimes to make the choice to go out and be faithful to take new ground. When you do, and you all have, you go have an experience that was scary that you didn't think would come true. And when you achieve it, you've just expanded the ring of certainty. That area grows in all directions because you have a new reference that says, wow, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Wow, I still am able to learn new things for those of us that are over 50. Wow, I am still able to enjoy and whatever. So this is going to tie to story. We'll look at certainty and uncertainty, how it aligns with truth and scripture and renewal and beholding ourselves as new creations. We've got 2 minutes for Sal to give that. Yes.
I want to share this because I hope nobody judging, okay?
If they do, they
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's their own story. We got 2 minutes, though, so you got it.
You know, everybody, you know, I walk. Every morning I walk an hour, you know, round the God. And lately, I do not realize that I'm walking some of the street that I come nice, the grass clean, cut, beautiful. And suddenly, I got the bottle of water. After I drink, boom, I throw away the bottle in the grass.
Sinner!
No, listen.
Okay.
Listen to this. This
okay.
Is, you know. And once, two, three, 4, 5, yesterday. And I was walk and pray and talk to the Lord, and I got a bottle almost to throw up. And suddenly I hear, you should recycle that. I say, yeah.
I don't want to hear it. I didn't think you believed in recycling. I'm kidding.
You know what I mean? So, and I throw the bottle, then I was walking, then go back. I went back. I got the bottle, and I took my house, and I recycled. And practically, the Lord was telling me, you know, we have to keep the city clean. We cannot throw the stuff on the floor. All right? So this is a story. This is now, I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but some behavior has got to be changed.
Well, and so if I may, to be congruent with, so for you and your story, it was the Spirit leading you, you saying yes, coming to alignment with that. I agree that the world is not, it's regardless of the behavior, it was you being faithful to the Spirit in you and writing a new story that says, that's just not who I am. And that, thank you. Yes. Get it. Well, only because of time, we got to clear the room for the worship team. God, we agreed this morning that you had something for each and every one of us, and that there's a life that you want lived out in oneness with each and every one of us. So thank you that you're revealing that. Thank you that our story is something that you're the author of, and we get to be co-author with you, and all the old stories get to die, and those strongholds bow to the name of Jesus. We look forward to visiting that more. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's clear the room for the word.